Now I would like to invite our Vice President, CFO Walter Knorr, to give his financial report.
Good morning, everyone. Today is my 63rd and final board meeting at the University of Illinois. This will be my 62nd presentation. There was one time several years ago that after a 4.5 hour executive session, Chris Kennedy came up to me and said, "We're going to have to forego your presentation." And that presentation was voted my best presentation over the office. First, start with what happened in Springfield. You know, it's been in the papers that we got a budget. First of all, what we got for the FY18 appropriation, $583 million was the appropriation for FY18. This covered everything from the system and the Prairie Research Institute and the hospital, all included in this $583 million. This is 10% less than the FY15 appropriation for the university. It's interesting, and I'll come back to it a little bit later, that the breakdown between the source of the funds, you know, to pay this, it's $55 million is coming from the General Revenue Fund, and $528 million is coming from the Educational Assistance Fund, and I'll talk about why that's important in a second. Second piece to it is we got $300 million for FY17, and again, this is for the whole of, it's a lump sum appropriation, essentially, for FY17, and when you add that to the $350 million that we got in the bridge appropriation earlier in the year, it brings us up to an appropriation of $650 million for FY17. Again, this piece is $213 million coming from GRF and $88 million coming from the EAF. It's interesting that accounting rules will not allow me to book this back against FY17 or the year we're just closing. So you're going to have a big $853 million appropriation in the FY18 financial statements. The accounting rules dictate that. The monetary award program was another appropriation, both for FY17 and for FY18. What this means for us is $64 million will come to the university hopefully soon for the FY17, the open receivable for MAP for FY17, and we expect $66 million would come for FY18 to cover MAP for the university. As far as the capital, there's no new capital projects, but the existing capital projects were reappropriated. There was some new money, $2 million for the dentistry project, additional money for the dentistry project here in Chicago. Now, when I talked about the difference between the GRF and the EAF, we've talked to the state controller. The state controller is, trying to figure out what their cash flow is going to look like. And what they've told us on a very preliminary basis, no promises, is that they hope to basically pay the $64 million MAP by the end of August. So we basically, that would be the 17 MAP, and they were going to try very hard to basically pay the on the 17 that $88 million for EAF on the 300. They're going to try to pay that by the end of August, and that's as far as they would go as far as promises. They are really, and you'll see in another slide, they're still struggling very much with their GRF and the outstanding bills and trying to deal with the outstanding bills. And we will be, all the employees got their notices that their paychecks are going to be increased 1.2% for the state income tax in their next paycheck. The state is trying to figure out how that's going to come in so that they can basically work on a new cash flow for the state. There was a transfer. The state is doing a transfer to the medical trust fund. It's in a range of $20 to $45 million to feed the Medicaid trust fund. This is important to us for purposes of basically leveraging it against the federal dollars. There's a whole mechanism for us to leverage that on the old fee for service arrangement that we have with. So that's important for us. As far as pension costs, they really didn't do much as far as pension costs for us. They did have one thing where we were going to basically be responsible for the normal cost for all of the employees that are making over $180,000. They're using, or $177,000, they're using the governor's salary budget as basically being the benchmark. So we're going to have to do that, pay for that normal cost for those employees. And we're estimating that right now at about $5 million would be something that we would have to pay for. There's also a number of things that we're going to have to do on a future basis that the State University Retirement System is trying to decipher, but basically programs for Tier 2 and Tier 3 employees, new employees, where we're going to have to pick up costs associated with those, with pension plans, both defined benefit and defined contribution plans. But it's too early to project those costs, and we're deciphering that right now. The next thing that I think that basically really affects the state's dilemma is the courts have ordered the controller to pick up the pace on paying for Medicaid, and substantially to pick up the pace on paying for Medicaid, a really big amount. This is very difficult on the state on its cash flow. It should be helpful to us because the managed care organizations that they would be picking up, and then in turn be basically hopefully accelerating their payments to us. And this is something that Avija covered yesterday. And we've improved the receivables and the managed care receivables, but this would help to have that accelerate. But it is a big pressure on the state to basically pick up a significant increase in the cash flow on the Medicaid payments. We've been talking to Moody's. Moody's did downgrade us since our last meeting, downgraded us in June. It was strictly associated. They downgraded us to an A1, which is the top of the A bracket, from a AA3 down to an A1. It was strictly totally on the heels of the state being downgraded at that time. And they also downgraded the hospital to a BAA3. And again, if you read the rating report, from Moody's at that time, it was totally on the state. Basically, if you took out the state part, you would think we were being upgraded based on what they said about us. So it was strictly attached to them. Standard & Poor's also downgraded us because they had downgraded the state too. They downgraded us to an A-minus because they had downgraded the state to a triple B-minus, so the lowest of the investment grade ratings that you can have for a state. Both Moody's and Standard & Poor's are at the lowest investment grade rating for the state of Illinois. S&P has a strict rule that we can only be no more than three notches higher, and that's where we are. I mean, we're locked into that three-notch rule that this S&P has. We're in talks with them right now. S&P came out and confirmed confirmed the triple B minus, but put the state in a stable position yesterday. And so I don't expect, based on our conversations with S&P that we've had, that there's going to be any change in our rating for us. Same thing with Moody's. We've had a long discussion now that Moody's is still outstanding what they're going to do. It's in the paper whether they're convinced that what happened with the budget is going to be good for the state and how they're going to react to it. But I think based on our discussions with Moody's we've had this week, I think we're in good stead with them, and I think it's going to be tied to whatever happens with the state. The other thing is, since we've met last, there's been 103 FTEs moved from the system office, moved from procurement, from purchasing, from grants and contracts, and from a budget operation within our business and finance office, been moved over to the campuses. This is a planned move with realignment within the university, and that happened as of July 1st, and that move has been made. Lastly, with what's happened here with the budget, we're going to be working on between now and the September meeting, you'll be working on the the budget, the first operating budget. There's been a two-year hiatus in putting together an operating budget because of no budget for the state. Now that there is a budget, put together an operating budget for the university, shooting for the September meeting for that, it's important to not only have some type of an operating budget, but also the big thing is essentially the call the notices of appointment for university employees, for faculty and administrative professionals. That will be also part and parcel to that, and that has to have your approval at the September meeting for purposes of the September paychecks, to basically whatever the salary levels are, and those are the contracts essentially associated with the employees with that. The last thing we're going to have, believe it or not, there's going to be something that you're going to see is a request, you know, for budgetary items from the state for FY19, if you can imagine that. You know, you're going to be being asked what are you going to want, you know, what does the, and this is a statutory requirement that has to happen. What you're going to have to ask for is, you know, for the operating budget as well as the capital, and this is something that's routine, but it is a statutory requirement, and believe it or not, you know, you're talking about FY19 request that goes to IBHE. I referred to this. This is still the dilemma for the state. $16 billion of bills outstanding as of the end at June 30th. What we do is basically we will start billing the state our appropriation. That's how we basically recover the money from the state. This payroll that's coming up this week, we will turn around and bill that, you know, bill $75, $80 million to the state, you know, for purposes of that. And that's how we recover the dollars. That basically gets us in line, you know, for being paid. And hopefully we'll get to, you know, get in line with the GRF. That's why I was talking about why it's important to know the breakdown of the appropriation between GRF and EAF, and how, you know, when the timing to get paid. I expect that if you look down at the red line, basically the percent of the appropriation that was unpaid at the end of each fiscal year, and you can see the bubble that we enjoyed here at the university. If you remember, some of those have been around, the number of times that we basically showed the outstanding bills, the hundreds of millions of dollars, the unpaid bills that basically during that time period. That's a big concern, is whether that's going to be recurring because of the state's cash situation, and when are we going to be paid, when are we going to be reimbursed, when are we going to be paid for our appropriation. So what we see here is essentially the last 5 years of appropriation with FY15, the 662 was the gross appropriation. The red is basically the $19 million rescission. So we've been working with a $643 million FY17 benchmark, you know, for benchmarking our success with the current appropriations. And then you all remember the $180 million stopgap appropriation. I think we might have to put rest in peace on this. Whether we're ever going to recover any monies there. This is the $650 million number for 17 now that we have. Some of the things that we basically deduct are the Prairie Institute, and we do have a $24 million obligation to pay for health care. So we net those out of that appropriation. But you did end up, believe it or not, with a $650, you ended up with more than the FY15 appropriation. And then this is the $583 million appropriation for FY18. Those of you who have watched this, over the years, just bring it up to date. This is basically the crossover. The X, this basically referred to commonly as the X trigram, basically the crossover between tuition and state support, state appropriation support. Again, with at the end here, you can see that, and this basically puts it into FY18. Where tuition, and this would be both undergraduate and graduate tuition, probably two-thirds of that $2,239 number for 18 is two-thirds of that's probably undergraduate, and the rest of it is graduate that we're looking at for 18. But now with the $564 million appropriation, and when I say the 564, that's essentially the 583. I took off the hospital payment, and we have about $6 million of additional funds that basically were primarily for the Fire Institute. So the 564 is the appropriation. And you can see the Richter scale what happened in with the 16 shortfall. this is going to pick up again as far as this presentation, basically showing you as the year goes by how much has been billed, how much has been the budget, how much has been billed, how much has been collected, what's the receivable on the appropriation. I think this is basically as of June 30th, and the only thing here is basically we have the remaining $64 million down here is the MAP amount that was still due for FY17. Otherwise, that's the main receivable. But this is before the adding the $300 million for the new appropriation for 17.
Hey, Walt, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Is that 181 and the number in the
yeah
blue?
The blues, this is how much was outstanding unpaid at June 30th of each of those fiscal years,
but that's a balance sheet number, so it's gone.
That would have been the receivable. Yes,
it's gone down over the years.
Yeah, it improved over the years. And if this was extended, it was much higher going back, on the wall, but prior to 2013-12, it was much higher going back. There was a time probably in 2011, where we probably had half the appropriation was still owed us at year end.
Why is the difference between the collected and either the appropriation or the billed, which are obviously about the same, so much every year, but then the balance doesn't go up? I don't understand that.
The balance doesn't.
Well, the 181 and the 150 and the 114, that's not an annual amount.
That's what would be the receivable, the unpaid on the appropriation for those years as of June 30th.
So it's not a in other words, that's the actual receivable is building, getting larger.
During the year, yes.
No, but I'm talking about multi-year.
No, because it was paid eventually during the lapse period. So this
if it was paid, then how come?
The $114 million here, this was paid probably in the first 90 days of the next fiscal year. So basically that receivable was eliminated.
So you never put it in the collected column?
Eventually we would. This is just what's uncollected as of this point in time.
As of June.
It's actually, if you take a look at this, for instance, it's basically the difference between here, but it's been the total amount of the billed versus the amount of collected is basically this number.
Right, but I'm saying is in that 181 in 2013, has that ever been collected?
Yes. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay, well, this makes it seem like it's never been collected because the difference between... In other words,
this
just
would be essentially like
a
balance sheet snapshot at June 30th of the appropriation.
So it wasn't collected in June.
Yeah.
But it's subsequently been collected.
It has been collected.
Right. Okay.
So
these are standalone years here in this presentation.
I'm trying to get you a picture of June 1 each year.
I understand, but okay.
Just as we close the books for 17, and again, we're not going to be able to benefit with the additional $300 million of appropriation for 17. That this is how tuition looked for this year. The budget, we were right on budget as far as the collections. The only thing that we really is outstanding for the 17 tuition is the amount of the MAP receivable, and we should be getting that, and so we'd be good with that. But you can see that year after year after year, whatever we basically have budgeted for tuition, we basically have been able to collect have been able to hold forth on that. As I mentioned yesterday on the hospital through May, and because we watched this, the performance for the hospital through May 31st for this year, $11.5 million is essentially the operating margin. You can see that based on last year, when we were actually a couple million dollars underwater last year as of May, but we ended up to the positive last year. You can see we're in much better stead. And the other thing that was reported yesterday very quickly is basically the improvement, even though we still need cash, but we're up to 109 days of cash at the hospital. We probably need twice or three times that much in cash, but we're basically watching and monitoring the hospital. And this kind of supplements Vijit's presentation yesterday. I wanted to close with something that everybody's on everybody's mind around here is basically these fringe benefits and particularly the health care costs. And we call them, there's two pieces to what we call payments on behalf, and one is for health care and one is for pension benefits. This is essentially what the state is basically primarily picking up as far as health care costs, and you can see the graduation almost doubling in the cost of health care for the university over the last 10 years. There's a drop here in this year. This is the year that they made the employees pick up a substantial increase in the premiums that they paid for health care. This red piece is this $24 million that I mentioned earlier that we contribute for health care, but the rest of it is basically this is all an obligation of the state right now. At least, you know, they may be asking us to pay more. They didn't put anything in the legislation, but they may be asking us to pay more because this is a real problem. Because when you add this $560 million plus, when you see the pension costs, payments on behalf is now over $1.4 billion. It's $1.4 billion of obligation that the state is taking on our behalf to the university's benefit. If you go to the next slide there, Joe, if you take a look at what it's costing, all the employees of the university as well as the state have to participate in what they call CGIP, the State Employees Group Insurance Program. And you can see this is basically something put out by the state, basically what's the liability for all the participants in CGIP, and you can see how much it's increased over the years. Now you would say, well, cost of health care has increased, but you see this big jump here? They're so far behind in paying the medical bills that now they're putting an interest component that's going in here. And so they're basically putting in, and that's what this big jump is basically now they're adding to the liability, the interest component on the unpaid bills are going into this calculation. So you can see that a rather substantial, if you look at this, you know, that for all the participants, for every participant, there's a $9,800 liability, healthcare liability for every participant in the group insurance program. Lastly, the pension. This is another thing that basically the state has needs to deal with going forward. As of the last fully reported year, FY16, that all of the state pension plans are almost $130 billion unfunded. And this is the real big bugaboo with the rating agencies, you know, for the state's credit concerns, tremendous concerns for this situation. For us, we're probably we're in this. This is the breakdown between the major ones. Then we're in the SERS program, and so we're at almost $24 billion underfunded in the SERS program, which is the State University Retirement System. That's participating in the overall state pension programs. And we're probably, the University of Illinois is probably 45% of that, so almost $9, $10 billion would be our unfunded, you know, liability on the university employees. And this is something, you know, the accountants, you know, we don't have to pick this up on our financial statements. It certainly would wipe out our net position of the university. It's something that... to deal with it, it's a mess, you know. So,
you were that.
But anyway, we'll go to the last slide. So this is what, you know, this is the other piece to the, this is what the state is paying as far as pensions. And as I said, now you know, for 2017, now we're up to $873 million in pension costs that the state is paying for on our behalf, of which only $200 million is essentially the normal cost. The rest is the amortization of the liability that that $20 billion unfunded liability for us. And when I look at this, I think that as I said, there was only just the only thing that we're going to additionally pick up is some pension, about $5 million of pension costs associated with the those employees making over the governor's salary. This basically through this year, this was basically what was paid for by the state. This now this is basically paid and unpaid, you know, for by the state. When you look at what they paid for, the state is paying for to SERS, The draw on the state budget in 2017, it was $1.7 billion went into SERS, you know, out of the operating budget. In this budget they just passed, it's $1.59 billion, so it's less. They're expecting that basically some of the benefits, some of the things that they did to the pension fund is going to reduce the amount of cost to the pension fund. So it's actually less going into the pension fund as far as the state contribution. So when you add, again, when you add this 873 to the 560, you're $1.4 billion in payments on behalf that now the state is covering. So so I think the thing that just always at the end here is just to be wary of is basically the payment of the appropriation. When will it be paid? I think you're probably going to see the similar type of thing where you're going to have billed, you're going to have collected, and you're going to have a receivable, you know, associated with the appropriation.
Walt, are you saying that they are still today not funding the appropriate amount for the pension this year?
I mean, I don't believe they are.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, that's the problem with this thing. I think it's kind of a mystery, kind of like the Baltimore Catechism. The answer is a mystery about what the pension, you know, whether or not, you know, as they fund the pension, whether or not these changes that they're talking about making are going to generate those kind of savings.
But you estimate our portion of the unfunded state employee and teacher retirement pension is how much?
$10 billion.
$10 billion.
Of that 129, we're the overall SERS is about $23 billion unfunded, and we're about 45% of that. And so it would be about $10 billion would be the unfunded liability
out of 23.
Out of the 23. And again, you know, thank goodness we don't have to put it on our books, because if you put that $10 billion on our books as a liability, because the state has the legal obligation and because they acknowledge it, we don't have to put it on our books. We have to disclose it like mad, but that would certainly wipe out our net position.
The payments on behalf are not necessarily getting actually cash funded.
No. That whole healthcare thing. I mean, everybody in this room probably has a story about not being paid. You know, their doctors are not being paid. Their dentists aren't being paid. Everybody in this room that is a state as a university employee probably has that story to tell you.
And Chairman, just to be clear and for the record, when we said that was an RIP on 2016, when you said RIP, Walt, we are out versus what we were expecting or what our prior appropriation was or our appropriation the following year from fiscal year 2016, over $400 million that we do not expect to get.
Yeah, the difference between that 643 and 180, I mean, that $400 million.
So 400 plus.
Yeah.
And that's just money we had to fund out of our existing operating cash. And so we lost essentially $450 million. Assuming we were going to break even, we lost $450 million.
That's right. But we have not placed the tombstone on the RIP or placed the RIP on the tomb. We're still advocating and have been all along for restoration of the 16 budget. Now, the likelihood of that happening is frankly diminishing with time, which is Walt's point.
I'd like to echo Walt's comments, which is what's happened has not fixed our situation. It's temporarily reprieved it, and it's great that we have a budget, but we obviously have tremendous work to do as a board and a system to address this, our future with the state's finances being what they are.
Very true.
If you take a look at our cash over the last 2 years, you know, from FY15's cash balances and the 2 years of not, you know, the 180, I mean, we're probably down $600-700 million in cash, you know, as a result of those 2 years of shortfall.
Any other questions or comments for Walt? Okay, Walt, thank you very much for your presentation.